some special music, and I was glad to see that the Broseses are getting Emma involved in the choir at a nice early age. And she had wonderful eye contact with the audience, so I appreciated that as well. Thank you, Mr. Charles. Greenwood Furnace State Park is incredibly beautiful. I love the tall trees, the tall mature trees, and the occasional wildlife that scurries along the floor of the woods from time to time. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time hunting in the West Virginia Monongahela National Forest, as well as in the southeastern part of Ohio. You can't really compare those two hunting experiences. When you're hunting in West Virginia, it's a very wild experience. To get to where we hunted, we left a very small town that's alongside of, I think it's the Monongahela River, called Parsons, West Virginia. And we would travel by a little cemetery, I remember that in my mind, and then you would enter the National Forest, and we would drive an old logging road that winds back and forth through the mountains 13 miles until it would come to an end. So it was a long trip just once you get into the beginning of the National Forest before we actually got on to where we were going to set up our camp. But at the end of that 13 miles, the road, which was all gravel and sometimes barely wide enough to fit one vehicle on, and a lot of times you had a sheer cliff going straight up and a sheer drop off on the other side of the road. So you had to be a little bit careful even going back in to get set up for camp. But at the end of that road, it turned into a walking trail, and that was called Yellow Creek Trail. We would set up our camp there, and in the mornings, we'd get up well before dawn, way before daylight. We'd have a quick breakfast, and then we'd head out walking on Yellow Creek Trail, and we'd walk up the side of or around the side of a mountain until we got up on top of the mountain. And that was a smart way to hunt, because if you were actually fortunate enough to bag a deer, then all you had to do was drag them downhill. But unfortunately, I knew a couple hunters that wanted to hunt the valley below camp, and they had a very difficult haul when they would harvest a deer getting it up the mountain. But it was an incredible experience. When you're up on top of those mountains and you look out and all you can see, as far as you can see, is mountaintop after mountaintop after mountaintop. There's no signs of civilization when you're that far back into a national forest. And of course, I look at a map and I could see where cities were located somewhat close by, but they're still a long way away, miles and miles and miles away. But it's an incredible experience to be that far out and to know and realize you're pretty much isolated if you didn't have a car or some kind of other transportation. And I came across guys in my years of hunting there that would get lost in those mountains. You would hear reports of it on the radio, especially at hunting season when so many people are in the woods. It happens quite frequently. But it's very inspiring as well. I've never yet to this day been in a place where I've seen so many incredible stars at night, because you're so far removed from the city lights and the artificial lights, and you look up at the sky, and we would hunt the week before Thanksgiving. So it was always on the cooler side, sometimes wintry, and the skies are literally filled with white dots, a multitude of white dots, and something you don't experience unless you've actually been out that far away from the artificial lights of the cities. So I encourage that any opportunity you have to experience that. During my time on hunting, especially in West Virginia, I experienced very difficult and dangerous at times experiences. In West Virginia, we left early in the morning, like I mentioned, and we would go out for the entire day. We would stay out there. It didn't matter if it was pouring rain. It didn't matter if it was really cold. I've hunted in snow where it was 2 foot deep. We went out and it was serious hunting. And it was too far of a trip to walk back to camp and refresh and then go back out hunting later. So you went out for the entire day, no matter what the weather conditions. And at times, like I said, they were very difficult. There were times in my being out in the wild like that that I would describe them as incredibly beautiful moments. Also, there were times where they were very difficult moments. Moments of fear. Moments of exhilaration. And often, survival required very clear thinking. And you think, well, how did you experience fear? Well, I'll tell you. One time we were heading in to the woods, it was dark, and we were walking along an actual trail that was used to clear lumber on. And we were walking up the side of this trail up towards the top of the mountain, and it's dark, and I come across this big bushy area, and this, I'm trying to remember the type of bird. Somebody might be able to help me. It takes off. It'll hold tight until you almost step on it, and it beats its wings very rapidly. Anybody remember? Grouse. I think it was a grouse, yes. And a grouse will wait until you get almost on top of it before it flushes. And when they flush, their wings just beat themselves against their body. And it would scare you to death. It scared me to death. So that was my moment of fear, because I didn't know what was coming out of the woods just a few feet from me. And then I realized after a couple seconds that it was a bird or a grouse. So there were times of all kinds of different experiences. Well, life, even our spiritual life, is a lot like hunting. Or even, it's a lot like just going on a hunt, or a hike, I'm sorry. There are beautiful moments, difficult moments in life, moments of fear, of exhilaration. And survival, spiritually speaking, requires us to have very clear thinking. In my message today, I'd like to share with you a story of a man who went on a day hike and ended up lost for 9 days in a national forest. 9 days lost. As we go through his story, we'll see some lessons that can easily apply to our walk with God towards his kingdom. I found this story on a website called backpacker.com. For the sake of time, I won't have time to go through the entire story, so I'll paraphrase part of it and I'll read key parts or quote from key parts of the story. In June of 2021, Andrew Devers disappeared for a total of 9 days after he set out on a day hike in Washington's Mount Baker Snoqualmie National Forest. He said, "I had never hiked this trail, but I needed some fresh views and exercise to clear my head. Navigation was difficult, and I passed some landslide debris," and listen to what he says here, "without noticing a sign warning that the trail ahead was unmaintained." He ignored that sign. "It was like when you're driving on the highway deep in thought, and you accidentally pass by your exit. 90 minutes later, the trail became overgrown and thorny. I was wearing only a t-shirt and shorts, so I decided to turn around. When I did, I found a completely different landscape from the one that I remembered walking through." And that's very common. If you've ever walked or hiked or hunted in the wilderness, you get out there and you think you know where you're at, and you think you can remember your way back, and then you decide, I better head back. If you're not really clear where you're at, it could look like you just instantly transferred into another completely different part of the forest. He goes on and says, nothing looked the same. I couldn't determine which direction to hike. I climbed a higher ground to search for the road I drove in on, but saw only endless forest. It was just me, alone, hungry and cold. I also ask you to pay attention to that statement from him, where he says, it was just me, alone, hungry and cold. The story goes on detailing his misfortunes over the coming 8 and 9 days, which included losing his water bottle and an injury that included a sharp piece of wood stabbing him right below his kneecap, which also caused him to bleed, eventually set in with infection, and was very painful. Now his journey became even more difficult. Along with his physical problems, he also struggled with very negative thoughts and emotions as he was out in the wilderness by himself. I fell asleep angry for getting myself into such a terrible situation. By the next morning, my terror and rage became more visceral. The morning sunlight dappled through the trees, and I realized once again, and more acutely this time, that nobody was coming to help me. That's the thought that he had in his head, that no one was coming to help him. He didn't even at this point even envision others were out looking for him and hunting for him. I hadn't even told anyone where I was hiking. My survival was entirely in my own hands. Fear took over as I stomped through the dense shrubs. I didn't have a plan except to move forward. As the days moved on, his thoughts turned to a more spiritual nature, contemplating his personal value and his quality of life that he had lived up to that point in his life. Finally, after 8 days, he started to recognize parts of the landscape. At that point, he knew that he was within a mile and a half of his car. Exhausted and very hungry, he decided to sleep through one more night and then hike out the next morning. When he woke up the next morning, he was able to hear a couple of hikers talking. They went and called for help. His story concludes with a final paragraph. After 9 days, I finally wasn't alone. But I guess I never truly was. Turns out my friends had been driving around trying to find my abandoned car that entire time. Once I made it to the hospital, my girlfriend met me with love, compassion, and overwhelming forgiveness. I had all these people who were worried about me, looking for me, and finally they rescued me. They all cared. I was finally safe. Kind of an amazing story, and I'm very happy for Andrew that it worked out in a very positive way. But that had to be the longest 9 days of his life, and a very difficult trial as well. So from this story that I just shared with you, I'd like to offer 2 points during the remainder of my message. The first one is, pay attention. These are a couple spiritual parallels from his story that I think will apply to all of our life. The first one is, pay attention. Actually, before I go any further, let me give you the title. Some people like titles. The title for my sermon or message is, Hiking Towards God's Kingdom. Hiking towards God's kingdom. Back to my first point, pay attention. The first mistake that Andrew made was that he didn't pay attention to the warning signs on his hike and wandered off the main trail. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And I'll read from the ESV, the English Standard Version, for this scripture. Hebrews 2, we'll read the first four verses. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So even in our spiritual life, God tells us that we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. And if we don't, what is the outcome? It says, lest we drift away from it. Verse 2. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It's a very serious warning to us to pay attention, to watch the signs, to pay attention to what we have heard, what we've heard from God's word predominantly, but also in every Bible study, every message that you've heard down through the years. They are all given to you by inspiration of God to help you and to guide you along your path to God's kingdom. So we must pay attention. God has placed us on a particular path in our life. And it's a path that includes obedience to him. And the goal is for us to finally arrive at his kingdom. But how do we pay attention? What must we do? Well, the way and the direction of God's path is enlightened by God's word. The path of God that he's placed us upon is enlightened by his word. You can jot down in your notes, if you like, Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is the guidance and the sign of our spiritual journey. We're to follow it, we're to study it, we're to read it, and put it to work in our life. We can't afford to be negligent in paying attention to the one most important sign that God has given us along our hike to his kingdom. Following the word of God very closely enlightens the path to God's kingdom. And then we can see the way that we're to go to get there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20, and we'll read down through verse 24. Also from the ESV, it says, my son, be attentive to my words. Be attentive. That means paying attention. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep God's word in your mind and in your eyesight at all times. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk from you. God tells us to really watch the life that we're living and make sure that our life conforms to the very word of God. What is God's instruction for us? Actually, before I get to that, I want to go to the second point for my message today, and it is we are never alone. We are never alone. One of the most devastating, in my opinion, things that happened to Andrew in his being lost for 9 days was his mental outlook. He became discouraged. He felt that no one was looking for him. and that he was completely on his journey all on his own. Sometimes in our spiritual life, things get difficult. We are faced with trials and difficulties that can cause us to think the same way. We can think, spiritually speaking, that no one else cares, that maybe we even think that God doesn't care, and that we're on this journey completely alone. And the reality is, nothing could be further from the truth. God never leaves our side. He's with us wherever we go. And when we're at our most difficult points in life, we must remember he's there by our side. And he's fully in control of everything that's going on around us. Not that we need it, but beyond God, we have our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I bet if we went through the crowd, every one of you would say, yes, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. You pray for each other. You care for each other. You're there to help each other anytime you see the need. So never believe that you're in this all on your own, no matter how difficult life becomes. Andrew's thoughts had him believing that no one would search for him, that no one cared, and that he was completely in this trouble, completely on his own. As we walk the path of God, we must always remember we're never alone. Let's go to Psalms chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32, we'll read verses 7 and 8. This is a psalm of David, but it's inspired by God for us to remember, to think about, to contemplate this kind of a situation. David was talking about himself. In verse 7 it says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." God is always there to be our deliverer in every situation that we face. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye." That's God's encouragement to each of us. He'll instruct us in the way that we should go, and he will teach us. His word is full of that kind of instruction. We must draw near to God's word in our life. Let's drop down to verse 9, and we'll finish reading through the end of the chapter of Psalm 32. "Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." It's all about our trusting in God. And if we trust in God, it says mercy shall surround us. Who of us doesn't need God's mercy surrounding us in our life? Verse 11, "Be glad to the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." If that describes you, God tells you to rejoice. Rejoice and be glad because he's there working with you in your life. God has called us to be the upright in heart. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that in our heart, in the base and the foundation of who we are as a person, we're seeking God's will as much as possible in our life. What is God's instruction for us at times when we feel lost? Times when we might have wandered into areas that are away from God's path. That's a risk and a danger to all of us, to where we get off course towards God's kingdom and we wander off the path. What does God tell us to do? Proverbs 4, verse 25. Also reading from the ESV, Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. Well, the encouragement for us is to stay on the path that God placed us on. Verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward. That's another encouragement to pay attention. Pay attention. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all of your ways will be sure. All of your ways. That means every way, every direction you head will be sure. It won't be in doubt. Verse 27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Along our journey to God's kingdom, Satan and society is going to do everything in its power to try to cause you to be attracted to something off to the sides. God's called you on a straight path to His kingdom, and He's telling us to keep our focus on moving forward towards that goal, of not being intrigued with temptations to one side or to the other. When your emotions and your thoughts are getting the best of you, it's usually because we start paying attention to side issues in life. And I'll bet that's happened to every one of us at some time or another. God tells us to keep our eyes on the goal of His kingdom and walk straight towards it. Thankfully, Andrew's journey ended in a very good way. Upon his deliverance, he was reassured physically, mentally, and emotionally. As his deliverance became reality, I'm sure he was filled with thanksgiving, joy, and I'm sure he rejoiced from his heart because of the love, the care, and the concern that was shown to him upon his rescue. What do you think we'll experience once we arrive at the end of our hike to God's kingdom? Once our journey to God's kingdom has come to an end, how will we feel? What exhilaration will be in our mind and in our hearts? At that point, we'll be delivered from the godless, spiritually barren wilderness of this world. We struggle in that every day. Essentially, we are called out individuals by God walking through wilderness. The wilderness of this world. Well, the wilderness is coming to an end in the future, and that is when we enter God's kingdom. What will our rejoicing be like? Let's go to one final scripture, Psalm 68, verse 1. Psalm 68. And we'll read the first four verses also from the ESV. Another psalm of David here. Notice the words. God shall arise. His enemies shall be scattered. This is talking about a prophecy. It is a prophecy for the future. God shall arise. His enemies shall be scattered. And those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so shall you drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. The righteous will not be in fear of this time to come. We'll be glad. They shall exult before God. Picture that in your mind, because that is a prophecy of what's going to happen with God's people. Once the kingdom has arrived, the joy will be incredible. They'll be exulting before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides through the desert. His name is the Lord, exalt before him. Always remember, no matter how dark, how perilous our walk through the wilderness becomes, our destination and arrival to God's kingdom is assured. It's not in question. If we stay on the path of God and keep our eyes from looking to the left or to the right, it doesn't matter how fearful and scary this world becomes in our journey and in our hike towards God's kingdom, our deliverance, our rescue into God's kingdom is assured. We must pay attention and always remember that we're never alone. Hope the rest of your Sabbath and camp out is very enjoyable.